Okay, so, yes. So, we're going, so yesterday we did, last week we did V'chol Levavcha, where I'll do Nafshecha. But to do that, we really have to focus on the Gemara's main story about Nafshecha, which is the story of Rabbi Akiva, right? And see what that tells us about Shema. Okay, so I printed out the stories. I gave this over the summer, so I was, you know, pretty nice to you. I left all the English. I left it in big font. It was, you know, when you teach on Zoom, like, you know, it has to be, like, big. So I left margins and all that. Fine. So what is B'chol Nafshecha? So, what? Yeah, exactly. So the Gemara tells the following story, which we know, okay? So the Gemara in Brachot Samach Aleph tells us. There are sources with the translations over there. V'haftar Hashem Elokecha. Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, im nemar b'chol nafshecha, lo manemar b'chol meodecha. Im nemar b'chol meodecha, lo manemar b'chol nafshecha. Right? If the Torah said that you have to love God with your whole life, then why does it say with all your money? And if your money, why your life? Elo, im yesh lecha adam shegufo chaviv alav mimamono, lekach nemar b'chol nafshecha. V'im yesh lecha adam shemamono chaviv alav migufo, lekach nemar b'chol meodecha. If you have someone who values his life more than his money, so then we say, give up your life. And if someone values his money more than his life, then we say, give up your money. So the first thing that we learn from Chazal is that what do they understand? B'chol nafshecha, b'chol meodecha to mean? Yes, that's level one, life and money. What's the second? Correct. Is that love God with whatever is most valuable to you. Right? Rabbi Kiva Omer, and Rabbi Kiva says, b'chol nafshecha afilu notel et nafshecha. What it means is even if you have to give up your life. So now I want to read the story. I want to read two versions of it. One in the Bavli, one in the Yerushalmi, and we're going to do a little of an Agadah this year. And I want you to tell me what the difference is between them, okay? Tana Rabbanan. Pam achad gazra malchut ha-reisha shel yasku Yisrael batorah. Once, the evil malchut, meaning Rome, decreed that the Jews couldn't learn Torah. Bob Papus ben Yehuda umitzaol Rabbi Kiva she'amakil kilot rabirabim v'osek b'tara. What did he find? Rabbi Kiva was giving shir kloli, getting groups together and giving shir kloli. Amar lo Akiva, iatam mitzyarem ibnei malchut. He said, aren't you afraid of the government? Amar lo, and he said, emshalach hamashal. Let me give you the following parable. Lema davar domeh. A fox was on the bank of the river and he saw fish running, swimming around. From whom are you fleeing? We're fleeing from nets. Right, they're trying to catch us. Amar lahem ritzonchem shetalu liyabasha. So why don't you come and live on land, and we can live like our ancestors used to live in peace. The fox and the fish shall live together. Amru lo, and what did they say to the fox? Atahu shomrim alecha pikech shebechayot. You're the sly fox that they say is the smartest of the animals. Lo pikech atala tipeshata. You are an idiot. You are an idiot. If we're afraid in the place of our life, where we will definitely die, of course we'll be afraid. So, we're learning Torah, which is our life. We are afraid. But if we didn't learn Torah, we'd be even more afraid. Right? Rav Lachman Sin was once asked, right, this is like a legendary Gush story, someone asked him, why do we learn Gemara? And his response was, you never heard this story? Why do we learn Gemara? Why do we breathe? That was it. Right? It is our life. It's what we need to do. So, already the background to this story of Rabbi Akiva should tell us what? What does the background tell you so far? two plates of... That was fast. Yes, clearly it tells us that Rabbi Akiva thinks this is life, but let me tell... But I think there's something else here that will tell us about Shema, which is, why do you have to give up your life for what Shema represents? Come on. Very good, right? The background of this story is telling us that the part of the reason you give up your life for whatever Shema represents is because without it, life is not worth living. It's not life. Right? So this Agadah, before the death of Rabbi Akiva, is telling you that why do you have to give up a Kol Nafshecha? Because it's not just it's a choice. You have no choice. If you really understand how essential this is to your life, then the obvious choice is to give up your life for it. I'm going to come back to this, by the way. I want to flesh out a point a little bit later, which is that every mitzvah in Shema has a story in the Gemara of someone being willing to sacrifice their life for it. Torah, Tefillin, right? We'll go through them. And that's, I think, a very important point. Overall, it's a point made by Rav Schwab, and we'll come back to it, but let's bracket for the moment. And now we get to the actual phrase that's meant to explain the Chol Nafshecha. So Amru, they said, if you want at some point, you can look at the English. It's on the next page, right? But it wasn't so long until they caught him. And they put him in jail. And they also caught Papus, who had said to him, aren't you afraid? Amru lo Papus, mi'avi achalakan. Amr lo Ashrecha Rabbi Akiva shetafas al divrei Torah oylo lo Papus shenitbas al dvarim b'teilim. Papus said, look, if I'm going to die anyways, right, at least Rabbi Akiva is dying for a good reason. He was arrested for learning Torah. I was arrested on stupidity. B'shah she'otziu Rabbi Akiva lahariga zman kriyat shmaya. When it was time to die, it was the time for Shema. Vayu sorkin et bisaro b'masrei kotsha barzel. And they were scraping his skin off with the metal combs. Vayu mekabel av olmalchot shemayim. And what was he saying? Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, right? Amru lo Talmida, his student said to him, this is a famous story. If you haven't read it, I would be shocked. His student said, Rabbeinu, ad kan? Even now you say this? Even now you declare your fealty to God? Amar Lahem, what did he say? Kol Yomai Iti Mitzar al Pasuk Hazeh. My whole life I wondered about his brother Kol Nafshecha, Afil No Telet Nishmatcha. Even if he takes your life, Amarti. And I will point out, and this will become important in just a few minutes, that the next line is in brackets. It's not actually clear. It's not in many medieval manuscripts. Matai Yavo Li Yadi Ve'Kaimena. When can I fulfill this? And now it's come to my hand the opportunity to do this. And I wouldn't? Right? He said, clearly, and not duh. Try doing that. No, that's not, you're not mekayim the mitzvah that way. That's not a word. Right? And I've heard people do, no, please don't do that. You're not, right? Either just do echad and call it a day, or go back to the way it was probably pronounced in the time of the Gemara, which is Echav, right? What? No, not the. The is a suf, or a suf, right? A zalid is a the. The, like the. Zalid. A dalid without a negation is probably a zalid. A tuf without a, right, zalid. Let me just finish the line. Until he died saying Echav. Yatza Batkov Amra Ashrecha Rabbi Akiva Yatza Nishmatcha Be'Echav. Lucky are you that you died Be'Echav. Yes, Ezra. Yes, what if we're pronouncing it wrong? Good question.
And also,
No, you do not have to say the Lashon HaKodesh. Not Shema. Birchat Kohanim. Yes, there might be value to pronouncing it correctly. And yes, many people will even... I'm pretty sure Ginsburg does this. I think he told me that he did this once, though I can't promise, which is that even though he doesn't, for everything, say the, right? For Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, he says Echad, as do I. Right? I don't do it consistently. I don't do all Taimani pronunciations and whatever, but for Echad, I do. I do. I hold it Echad as long as I need to say, to have the requisite Kavanah that we talked about earlier in the year. I do that, yes. Shoot me. No. Yes, Adam. Yes, they extend the chet. Some extend the chet. It's wrong, but yeah. Yes, yeah, so some people extend the chet also a little bit, and you can do that. Meaning it's not... There's no problem in extending the chet. Echad. There's no problem with that. How? Without doing the... Yeah, I also think it's right. Okay, whatever. Yeah, you can't really do that with a D, because if you extend it too much, you'll end up saying duh. It's very hard to... Okay, I am impressed. But it probably is more likely a chav, as the name of the Moroccans will have it, and it's definitely easier to extend the than it, right? That's not even challenging. A chav, right, very easy. Okay, no. That's the Bavli. Let's look at the Yerushalmi. Where did Yosef just go? Oh, getting more popcorn? Fine. Okay, in the Yerushalmi, let's read this story as well. Number 3. Aval David lo hayach alamo bevargo bevavah. Fine. My time of libichava lal bekirbi. Just in time. So the Yerushalmi tells the story as follows. Rabbi Kiva haya kaye mitdon kumeton nizrofe zarosha. Right, he was fighting with, he was being judged by Tornis Rofus. Rach dar anta de kriyat Shema. So he started saying Shema. Sharikari kriyat Shema. V'gochach omer le Saba, Icherishad, Imavid, Biyasurna. What is wrong with you? You crazy? You're kicking, right? How do you not feel pain? Like, what are you doing? Amar Le, Tifach Ruche Dai Gavra. I hope your spirit rots. Lo Cherishana, I'm not a magician. Lo Mavid, Biyasurna. I'm not rejecting pain. Elakol, Yomai, Kriti, Pasuk Zevaiti, Mitstar, Omer, Eimata, Yava, Ushlashtan, Liyadi. And I just said, when will I get the opportunity to keep this vavavta d'shem lokecha b'chol levavcha b'chol nashcha b'chol merodercha rechamti b'chol libi. I always loved God with my whole heart. Rechamti b'chol mamoni. I loved him with my money. B'chol nafshi lo havi badikli. But I never tested myself. Do I love him with all my soul? Kudin matin b'chol nafshi v'giz man kriyishma v'lo ifalagd da'ati v'fumchein anakari v'gachach. That's why I'm laughing. Lo hispik lomar achaparcha nishmato. And he didn't stop until his soul departed. Okay. That's the Yerushalmi's version. It's a little bit different. I want to focus on one difference that Raylan picks up on that I think is important. And that's the following. In the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, there seems to be a subtle difference as to why Rabbi Kiva says Shema. What is it? Very good. In the Bavli seems to make a big deal of saying that the reason that Rabbi Kiva said Shema was because it was Zman Kriyat Shema. Right? Now, even though in Yerushalmi that seems to be the case as well, towards the end, meaning, I don't know if it was, yes, someone asked me that once. Do you mean Hanades or do you mean it was like so Zman Kriyat Shema? I assume Hanades. right? I assume if you want to come up with the perfect idyllic death for the hero of the Jewish people, Rabbi Akiva, it's probably not, I slept late on the day that I'm being killed, and it's probably Hyundai, okay? I'm just guessing. That's probably when they put people to death. It's more dramatic, right? At sunrise, right? When the sun rises, right? I don't know. I'm guessing. Fine? But yes. In the Bavli, it makes a big deal that it was so smart, that it was Kriyat Shema. That's why he said it. In the Yerushalmi, even if that's the case, by the end, the Yizman Shema, right? What seems to be more front and center? He's doing it to be in Tornas Ruffus's face. So Rai Lam suggests that this is two very different ways of understanding what Chazal believed by Behol Nafshecha. Okay? According to the Yerushalmi, it might be that we're actually idealizing martyrdom. In the Bavli, he says, no, that's not what it is. The issue isn't that we want you to die. What is it? We want you to be, right? It's a shir in Kriyat Shema. It's a shir in Avar Hashem. Meaning, in the Bavli, why was he saying Shema? Because it was time to say Shema. And what Rabbi Akiva was saying was, I am supposed to love God how much? Such that I'd be willing to give up my life. I don't have to. And if I don't, that's fine. And why was he saying Shema? Because it was the time to say Shema. He was happy because he could prove while he was talking about how much he was to love God that he actually means it. But it's not an ideal. It happens to be there. Rabbi Akiva was put to the test. And he could now prove the sheer of Avod Hashem. But in the Yerushalmi, it sounds like more than that. B'chol Nafshecha, at some level, is saying that we idealize giving up your life. Right? And therefore, the martyrdom comes before the fact that it was Man Kriyat Shema. Okay? Now, I will note, Rami looks at me, really? The Bavli isn't idealizing martyrdom? So I'll point out that, this is a point that Rabbi Dr. Chaim Soloveitchik pointed out in his articles, Halacha, Hermeneutics, and Martyrdom, Part 1 and 2, is that the question of whether the Bavli celebrates martyrdom as an ideal or simply as something you should be willing to do, and it's just a shir in your Avod Hashem, might come down to that line I said is in parentheses. That in our Girsa of the Gemara, it says that Rabbi Akiva said, Matai Yavol Liyadai Ve'Kamena, I can't wait to fulfill it. But in many of the older versions of the Gemara, that is not there. And Rabbi Akiva doesn't say, I always wanted to do this. He just says, I'm doing it. And that's a big difference, right? Whether you say, I hope that one day I have the opportunity to do it, or if it does, I'll deal with it, are two very different visions of what it means, b'chol nafshecha. Is that ideally you order yourself, or ideally you should love God enough that you would? Those are very different. He says this in the context of noting that the Balei HaTosfot, many of them seem to have really celebrated martyrdom to the point where they actively killed themselves and their wives and their children rather than convert to Christianity and said brachot on it, right? And they said brachot al kiddush Hashem, and they compared themselves to the Zaken Mamre, Yamud Zakai Val Yamud Chayav, so it's better to actually kill yourself. And Rabbi Yosef of London had a dream of the cross, which he interpreted that he was being led astray, and he committed suicide, right, rather than be tempted by Christianity. There were Balei HaTosfot who thought this way. It was really problematic. And they had whole tefillah that they would say, may our blood be like the carbonate. And one of the, there's one story of in the Crusade Chronicles, you don't want to miss this, right, of a father killing his children, Adam, and taking the blood and sprinkling it on the parochet and saying, may this blood be machaper. I mean, they were really into martyrdom, right? What? Because they were going to be converted by the Crusaders. So instead of letting that happen, he killed his children and sprinkled their blood on the Mizbeach, right, on the parochet, and said, may this... There were intense things going on in the Balei HaTosfot, okay? So So Dr. Soloveitchik went through and pointed out that this, you know, may or may not be original to a Jewish thought, right? Okay. Go get more popcorn. Go ahead. But Rabbi Lam, in a nutshell, suggests that these are two very different visions of what's going on here. And he notes that this seems to continue to be a machloket of whether the lesson you're supposed to learn from this is that martyrdom is an ideal, b'chol nafshecha is an ideal, or just a sheer in how much you love God. So look at number four. Look at the Nesiv. The Nesiv takes the position that it's just a sheer in how much you love God. He says, "Lulei lashon haRambam meitim mefarish ikar lashon haMishnah perish haRoeh perik haRoeh who notel nafshecha." Lo, Meir Mesirut Nefesh. It doesn't really mean martyrdom. What does it mean? El al hadvekut. It's telling you that you should cling to God. V'lashonu achavano. Kadosh Baruch Hu. V'fil l'b'shashar Kadosh Baruch Hu. No tamshecha. Mitzvah liyachdo. This is the point. Not that you should give up your life. That what? Then Siv pushes it a little bit differently. He says, what are you learning? Not just, it's a sheer that I'd be willing to give up my life. It's different. You should love God to the point that even were God to force you to martyr yourself, your love would be impervious to that felt treason. Meaning you might think that if God forces you to give up your life, at that point you would hate God. But Chol Nafshecha is saying, even if God forces you to give up your life for Him, your love should be so intense, not that you should be willing to give up your life, that when you're forced to give up your life, your love will endure. Right? That's how the Nesiv reads this pasuk. Right? And what's his raya in the Gemara? What's his raya in the Gemara? Tell me. You don't have to read it inside. What's his raya? The Rabbi Kiva student said, Ad Khan. Right? The drama in it is where the student said, really? You still say it? And he said, of course. Meaning, the drama isn't the martyrdom, it's that he still loved God, even when God was torturing him. Right? So another way of saying it is, it's not just you should love God to the point you're willing to martyr yourself. It's that you love God that even being forced to martyr yourself won't make that love budge. That's what it means, but God forbid that you should celebrate martyrdom. Martyrdom is not something we look forward to. Look at the Torah Tmima, skip to 5. Let me just get the key. Right, he reads Ad Khan differently. Look at the next page. Look at the top of the, whatever, third page or whatever it is, to the second line. V'dad al pi ha-mavur kan v'rushalmi sham chokol yomav shir b'kiva Haya mishto kekla mutal kiddush Hashem. Rabbi Kiva's whole life, he was begging, he was hoping to die al kiddush Hashem. Right? And what was he saying? Two lines from the bottom, shekol yamav, haya mishto kekla mutal kiddush Hashem, yidbar shamar mutav shamar mitar atmi mitar tivit, avlo al kiddush Hashem kechefti, achlo lever diver chavivi. Right, he actually wanted to die this way. Right, so right, Lam notes that this question of whether what you learn from here is this is a sheer either in how much you're supposed to love God or how much your love could withstand, the way he reads the Bavli, the Nitziv, or is it telling you, no, you should actually idealize martyrdom. Maybe the Yerushalmi, definitely the Tamima. Those are the two very different perspectives in what B'chol Nafshecha means here. I'll skip the next source. I'll note that at some level this seems to come down to different girsaot in the Sifra. Okay, I'm going to skip the Alei Tamar here, but skip to number 8. The Sifra says, Ushmarzim echukotai v'nimishvatai asher yasa otam ha'adam liten shmira v'asiyah lachukim ushmira v'asiyah lishmatim V'chai bohem l'olam haba. You should live in the next world. V'im tomar ba'olam hazeh. Falosofo mate. How could, maybe you'll say that the Torah is supposed to let you live in this world. Hamani mekayim v'chai bohem l'olam haba. Ani Hashem neman l'shalem schar. Now, Benny Lau points out that, Rabbi Benny Lau points out that this Sifra is supposed to be from the Midrash Rabbi Akiva. In this Sifra, what do you think? Does it idealize martyrdom or not? Yes, because what does it say? V'chai bohem, live through the mitzvot, that must be Olam Haba. Not Olam Hazeh, the very Olam Haba focused vision. But Rabbi Shmuel, the other main, but look at, what? Yeah, yeah. But what about the next one? What about Rabbi Shmuel? How does Rabbi Shmuel read V'chai Bahem? V'chai Bahem? V'loshi Yamud Bahem. That you should try not to die. Right? So Rabbi Benny Lau points out that it could be that the machloket of whether we glorify martyrdom is or not is a machloket Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Kiva, who glorifies martyrdom, says the V'chai Bahem is more about Olam Haba, because we minimize the importance of living in this world. But Rabbi Shmuel says, no, V'chai Bahem, the ultimate is to live through the mitzvot. We minimize the importance of martyrdom, and therefore you would read V'chol Nafshecha as a shear in how much we love God, or how much your love can withstand, but not saying ideally you should actually give up your life for God. Yeah, you know what? I put two more sources about giving up your life. Right, about V'chai Bahem Shalosh Sheyamuz Bahem, and some of the other halakhot to fill it out, right? That it's not only the big three, it's also, right, a mitzvah kala when God's name is being Michulal, so that could be another aspect, which is, no, maybe we don't glorify martyrdom, but we recognize that sometimes it's the best way for Kiddush Hashem, and really this is, maybe that's part of it, is this shir in Kiddush Hashem. So there are, I gave you other midrashim here where Rabbi Kiva does weigh in. Yeah, I don't want to get too much down this, right, meaning in the Mechilta, you see that both Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel have different sources to show you that most mitzvot are more important than giving up your life. So that does complicate the picture a little bit. But this was basically the point I wanted to get across, right? Was that B'chol Navshecha, at some level, as Rabbi Lam points out, it might be Bavli Yerushalmi, but even if it's not Bavli Yerushalmi, there seem to be two traditions running through Jewish Parshanut. One is that B'chol Navshecha means it's an idealization of actual martyrdom and Mesiras Nefesh. The other is, no, it's either a shear in your love, right, or a shear in how much your love is able to withstand, but it doesn't actually idealize martyrdom. And again, it might be Bavli Yerushalmi. It might be whether or not you have the Girsa and the Bavli of Matai Yavod Liyada Ve'akaimena. It's the Nesiv versus the Torah Tumima. It might be Machlok Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel, whether you say V'chai Bohem is idealizing living through mitzvot or saying, no, it's about the world to come, this world not so important, right? But these are basically the two different perspectives in the Parshanut in terms of what B'chol Nafshecha means. Okay? That's B'chol Nafshecha.